When Keenan asked me maybe about 3 weeks ago about preaching, I said, yeah, I had, God was laying, I would preach on the core subject of prayer. But when Keenan was preaching, he preached on a different, on tenacity, but one of his scriptures was 2 Timothy 1:6, and it was about fanning the flame. And that was so, so much in line with what I wanted to preach on, because we need to fan the flame, because the flame is dying. And today I am preaching on prayer, but in that particular context of this 5 and 6, it talks about Eunice and Lois, I believe, that were the mother and grandmother of Timothy. And he was, they were saying, you know, you need to fan the flame. And I know that years ago, you know, our parents were very diligent about going to church. They, people were in church on Sunday mornings. And now so many other things have happened that we aren't in church, that it's been overridden. It's not as important. So I think it's very important to fan the flame. So I will start in prayer, and then I will go on with the word. Father God, we just thank you that we are able to come before you. Father God, we thank you that you are that consuming fire that consumes every part of our lives. And Father God, if it isn't consuming every part of our lives, then Lord, we are asking you to start fanning the flame in our lives. Father God, I ask that this morning that your presence would come down, Lord, that your spirit would come, and that we would just have a time in the word and in you, Lord, that we would just spend time knowing you better. And I ask this in Jesus' name. So you guys know that God has given me a vision for prayer. It's one of my, it's one of the things that God has just given me a hunger for. And so I do research a lot on prayer, and I do study the word on prayer. And so prayer was a good fit for me. And then I got thinking, well, my goodness, for months, Pastor Corey prayed on prayer. Talked on prayer. What more can I add? But God said to me, you need to tell the people that they need to pray the word of God. That's how you're going to get the fire back into the church. How you're going to get the fire back into the community is by praying the word of God. Because how can we know what God's will is if we don't know the word of God? So one of the most urgent need in the Western church is that we need to know God better. Now, we've gotten really good at programs. We know how to evangelize. We know how to grow a church. We know how to do all of these things. But we don't know how to pray. And when this church started 20-some years ago, the foundation was prayer. It was, that's what we zeroed in. You know, we wanted God's will. We prayed God's will. And that was what it was. Well, I'm here to tell you today that prayer is one of the fundamental steps in knowing God. Spiritually, persistent, biblical-based prayer. Now, I've been doing, we've been doing cell groups, and every time we have a cell group, we have a little bit of a teaching, but we're working on the Lord's Prayer. And I have learned a lot of things about prayer by doing that. God wants us to honor him, you know, we started with that. And then it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how do we know to pray according to God's will if we don't know the word of God? So we have become, you know, we have, John I. Packer wrote, I believe that prayer is the measure of the man spiritually in a way that nothing else is. So that how we pray is as important a question as we can ever face. So that's one. And we need to have our prayer life transform so that our knowledge of God deepens. The main reforming power of prayer is the Word of God. So if you're going to reform how you pray, you're going to need to know the Word of God. So my text today is John 15:7. And it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done. Now that's a two-part, that thing. It says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, that's the first part. And the second half is that ask whatever you want and it will be given unto you. But you have to do the first part to get the second part. It's like an if-then. If you abide in me and my word, then I will answer your prayer. So the great need of the hour is to know God more deeply, personally, and more biblically. So how are we doing on that? You know, sometimes if the body is not building you up to know God more deeply, then we're failing. And so that's what God is. Without personal communion, we are not going to know God more deeply. And I remember years ago when I married Grant Hager, and I knew him because I dated him. But I tell you, after a couple of weeks of waking up with him after I married him, I learned a whole lot much more things. Some were good. And some I thought, my goodness, like, I didn't know that happened in a family. One of the things he did was pouting, and it wasn't allowed at our house. Pouting wasn't allowed. We would scream, we would holler, and we'd get over it. And tomorrow, we didn't remember it. But at his house, that didn't work like that. And next week, they'd bring it up again. And I'm thinking, my goodness, how do families do that? So that's why we are very loud in our family. And every so often, I this is just kind of a funny thing on me. Every so often, I'm talking to Grant, and I'm talking really loud. In fact, he says to me, why are you screaming at me? You've been around your father too long, because I talk really loud to Dad. Why are you screaming at me? And I said, I'm not screaming. He said, yes, you are. You're talking too loud. So anyway, that's just a little joke. Yeah. So, you know, it's our desire that we are totally devoted to prayer. And like private prayer, small group prayer, congregational prayer, all sorts of prayer. And it's God's desire, too, because he talks about it in the Word. There's so many different kinds of prayers in the Word of God that if you study prayer, there's prayer for different, you know, you've got prayer and fasting. You've got healing prayer, you know, just a whole lot of it. And God's desire is that we would know that, that he wants that to make known. In fact, in Isaiah 56, 7, 6 and 7, the word says, and foreigners who will bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, then I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And I want you to know, as we discussed this morning, the church is not the house. We are the house of prayer. And so that's what God is meaning. Like, God needs to be dwelling in the house. The house is you and me. And the benefit of it is, he says he means to make his people, including foreigners who trust him, joyful in the house of prayer. So it's a joyful thing. He means that for prayer to be joyful business. It's not to be, you know, woe is me. No, he wants it to be a joyful thing. So when we were studying, I was studying this scripture, it says in John 15:7, if we are to become what God wants us to be in our prayer, we must let the words of Jesus abide in us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask and whatever you wish, and it shall be done unto you. That's that condition. The words of Jesus must abide in us in our prayers if our prayers are to be effective. So if, you know, it has to abide in us. We need to be praying God's word. We need to be praying what he wants. Like sometimes we pray and it's not even God's will for because it doesn't line up with scripture. And so it's important. The best way to see what it means for the words of Jesus to abide in us is to look at verse 4 and 5 of this chapter, John 15. And it says, I am the vine, no, abide in me and I in you, and the result will be that you will bear fruit. In verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Again, we see the pair, abide in me and I in you. So that's, you know, he's saying, I will abide in you and you abide in me. We abide in Jesus and he abides in us. Both are connected to fruit bearing. The reason for prayer is to see fruit bearing. So, you know, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and I in you, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, I think the point of this change is to let us see that practically how we let Jesus abide in us, by letting his word abide in us. If you abide in me, I abide in you, is explained partly by that verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. We let Jesus abide in us and his words will abide, his word abide in us. So it starts to shed some light that, you know, Jesus needs to abide in us. He needs to be speaking to us. And the way that Jesus speaks to us is through his word. And when you read the word, is it alive or is it just another book? That's the thing is, sometimes we read it like another book. But if we start concentrating on it, then it starts becoming a living part of us. I remember years ago, I did a study with Beth Moore, and it was on Isaiah 61. And the first verse of Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach the good word, preach the good news. So as I concentrated on that, it finally came to me that it wasn't me preaching the good news. It was the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord upon us to preach the good news. You see, so we think, well, we're supposed to preach the good news. Well, that's right. We are, because that's what the word says. But if you read it, it says the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you so you can preach the good news. So if we don't have the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord on us, it's pretty hard to witness to the neighbor or to whoever, to our sphere of influence. So it's important to meditate on it and to know what the word says. There's four practical ways to do this. You know, we need to be reminded. I know Pastor Corey talked about this. You know, prepare a way to remind you to spend time in the Word and prayer and in Scriptures. John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So letting the words of Jesus abide in us makes our joy full. So the second thing is we need to plan. Well, we all know that if we want to have anything done, we need to plan. So we need to plan to spend time with Jesus or in the Scriptures because let's admit it, our lives are busy. Like, my goodness, you get up in the morning and you start running and you go to bed at night and you think, what have I done all day? And I'm tuckered right out and I haven't even had time to spend with Jesus. So we need to plan to make an appointment with him to do that. And, you know, we really need to be creative because our lives are so busy. You know, if you're driving, that's a great time to you know, you can have a scripture on tape now or whatever. Anyway, and also we have to decide ahead of time how we're going to read the Bible. And some of us like to read from the beginning to the end. That works. It's not my favorite way, but it does. I'm more topical. And so, you know, whatever works for you. It doesn't need to, as long as you're in the Word and spending time. And sometimes you don't need to read a whole lot. You only need to read a couple of verses and keep kind of bringing them back, because then if you memorize, that's your fourth point, is if you memorize it, then all of a sudden it becomes you. It becomes something, you know, if you keep memorizing a telephone number, you don't even need to think about it anymore. Like, you know, when you think call home, you know the number. Although if it's your own number, sometimes you don't. I got this cell phone for Grant. I want you guys to know that Grant has a cell phone. He doesn't put it on very much, but he has one. So the other day, I'm trying to figure out how to, because his phone was on vibrate, and he couldn't hear it when I kept phoning him when we were haying. And so he couldn't hear it, so he tried to put it in his shirt pocket. He couldn't feel it. So I'm trying to fix it so his phone is ringing. So I said to him, why don't you call me from your phone, his shop phone, and I'll see if your phone is working. Well, he said, I don't know my number. Anyway, we did get it working. So I won't tell you his number because he doesn't want anybody to know his number. But he probably won't answer it anyway. And he doesn't know how to run the voicemail either. So anyway. But God still loves Grant, and it's okay if he doesn't like cell phones. So, but memorizing is a good thing, because it if you're praying for somebody, that scripture comes back to you and that. So that's the first half, is abiding. That's how you would abide. The second half is, you know, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done to you. Now, there's four truths in this. The first one is prayers for fruit bearing. It's not, God designed prayer to give his disciples the joy of bearing fruit, while God himself gets the glory. We can see this in the connection between verse 7 and 8 in John 15, 7 and 8. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done to you. And verse 8 says, but this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. This was the scriptures he was using. And he claimed that that time, actually verse 16, which 15, 16, and he said, I've never forgotten, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And at that time, Pastor said that, you know, how we have seeded into foreign missions, and that God was going to repay the people for being faithful, and that we were going to see fruit here, and that it was going to grow. I'm still really kind of waiting for that to happen. But I believe that if we believe with all our hearts that God chose us for a fruit-bearing mission, then, and that's what, you know, we're so ingrained in the Word of God, and our mindset is that it's for fruit-bearing, that my prayer is that I want to see my neighbor serving Jesus. And sometimes we hear of the neighbor having a heart attack or dying, and you think, you know what? I never told that neighbor. I never told that neighbor about Jesus. I never told him that, although he was a very good neighbor, good neighbors weren't. Good wasn't what saved us. Good was good, but God had better for him. Because the Word of God said that, you know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall have eternal life, something like that. But it said, whoever believeth in him. That was the requirement. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I believe that the word of God is the life. And it said the word was flesh. And if you want to, you need to come through Jesus, which is this is the word of God. So that's what prayer is for, is for fruit bearing. You know, God chose us for that purpose. And like Vaden said, it's good to plant overseas. I believe that. But how much are we planting here? I believe that it's easy to write a check to send overseas, but it takes a whole lot more for me to tell my neighbor about Jesus. And we are hearing stories of these missionaries, how hundreds of thousands are coming to know Jesus it's called the 49th or whatever. But I'm not seeing hundreds of thousands coming to Jesus in Canada. So, I believe that God chose me and you for that fruit-bearing mission. And he's going to give us he chose us for the fruit-bearing mission. And that I think that I'm just going to read this. Prayer is for fruit-bearing. Therefore, since you want to pray and to get answers to your prayer, I chose you and I appoint you to go and bear fruit, because prayer is for fruit-bearing. If you are not devoted to fruit-bearing, you will not warrant for expecting answers to prayer. Prayer is designed for fruit-bearing. And I think that whenever we pray, it makes no difference what we're praying for. We need to pray that people know Jesus. The ultimate healing, if we're praying for healing, the ultimate healing is for people to know Jesus. Because without him, and they pass away, there's no healing. It's gone. And you don't get a second chance. Dead is dead. And so sometimes, like, it grieves my heart when I hear of a neighbor and I think, you know what? I never told him. And a while back, a young girl that our son used to go out with got killed in something that was tragic in Lloyd. And I thought, you know, I had contact with that girl. I know I shared some, but did I really share? Did I really share that, you know, Jesus with her? Anyway, the second thing is that prayer is not to gratify our natural desires. It says in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And I believe that God wants us to have our daily bread. But it's not the end all and be all. It's more than that. You know, because he said before, you have to line it up with the whole context of it. To have your natural desires, you know, we all need food, we all need clothes, we all need those sort of things. But, you know, give us this day our daily bread. He says, make it your heart's desire that God shall be hallowed first, because it says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first part of it. If you've got that in the right context, like you've got, you come before the Lord, you hallow his name, you know the word of God, you are praying according to his wills, then the desires, you know, give us our daily bread, is just going to fall into place. But you need to have that first part, know that first part. Like we can't, we tend to do this is give me, give me, give me, instead of thinking, what can I give you? What God doesn't need to, he didn't hire mankind to, you know, as consultants. I'm sorry. He uses us to do this. But he doesn't need mankind as consultants. But he hired us, or he didn't hire us. But he'll use us. But we need to make sure that we you know, when we come into prayer, that we've been learning this at prayer, that we praise his name. Like, are we in tune to what God has for us this day? What is it? What is God wanting us? It sounds like the North American church needs to know Jesus. I'm sorry, if it's not bearing fruit, if we have the best programs in this church and we don't see souls coming to Jesus or a deeper walk with Jesus, then I tell you, I think we should just quit them. Personally, I do. Because they're not, we're wasting too much energy doing things that aren't bearing fruit. So prayer is for God's name and God's kingdom and God's will. It is for fruit bearing and in all those great things. If our protection and our escape from danger and our eating and having clothes and houses and lands and education and vocational success leads to those great God-centered ends, the name of God and the kingdom of God and will of God, then we pray about them with confidence. So if you're in line with the right thing, David says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. There's a condition there. Delight yourself in the things of the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we forget, we delight ourselves in the things of the world and think God should give us what we want. The desire of the heart ceases to be merely natural then. When we delight ourselves into the things of the Lord, it's not about us anymore. It's about delighting in the Lord. When we're sitting at the table are we delighting ourselves in the Lord? Or are we delighting ourselves in chewing up the neighbor? I don't know. Anyway, sometimes we do that. So we need to devote ourselves to God's interests. You know, what is God interested in? He's interested in more than what's happening. You know, I know he's interested in everything. But the thing is, you know, he does not run the world, like I said. He doesn't run the world looking for consultants from mankind. He lets mankind share in the running of the world through prayer to the degree that we consult him and get our goals and desires in tune with his purpose. And when I did that study on, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's when it really struck me is, am I in tune to what he wants? How do I know? How do I know what he wants? How do I know how to pray for the neighbor? 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So prayer is not for gratifying natural desires. It is for gratifying our desires when those desires have been so purified and so saturated with God that they coincide with his plan. If we seek anything according to his will, and that's what it says, if we seek anything according to his will. Now, sometimes I wonder, sometimes I do stuff and then I ask God to bless it. I didn't consult first to see if it was according to his will. We have tendencies to do that. Bless it. Yeah, sure. Anyway, it might not have been God's will. It might have been, but it might not have been. 1 John 3:22, whenever we ask, we receive from him because he keeps his commandments and do the things because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Prayer is for satisfying the desires of people who are devoted for God's desires. And James 4:3, we did a study on James this winter, and it's opened a lot of our eyes. But it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasure. On your pleasure. So prayer is not to gratify personal desires, but for fruit bearing. If we want to have power and effect in prayer, We must devote ourselves and get our desires in alignment with the fruit that God means to produce through us. And that fruit always has to do with the hallowing of his name and the coming of his kingdom and the doing of his will, the way the angels do in heaven. So the key to praying with power is to become the kind of person who do not use God for our ends, but are utterly devoted to being used for his ends. You know, I'll repeat that. So the key to the power of the praying with power is to become the kind of person who do not use God for our ends, but are utterly devoted to being used for his end. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you shall and it will be done for you. The words of Jesus abiding in us makes us the kind of person who are not dominated by natural desires, but are devoted to fruit bearing for God's glory. And it's all for God's glory. The word of God does a whole lot of things for us. You know, it humbles the view of ourselves. Like if you get kind of proud, you should read the word of God. It kind of humbles you a little bit. It brings you down. It exalts our view of Jesus. You know, how do we know? How did I know Grant Hager? I didn't know him till I married him. Anyway, I know him better now because I've spent time with him. And that's the same thing with all of us. How does our relationship grow? It's by spending time, getting to know their mindset. Sometimes people ask me a question and I don't even have to consult Grant. I know what the answer is going to be because I've been there so long. And that's how we should be with Jesus. We should know Jesus so well that if somebody asks us something, we would know what Jesus wants. It also triumphs over the devil. The word of God triumphs over the word of the devil. A knowledge of the path of love, the assurance of our election, and the power of holiness. It comes through the word of God. In other words, it's the abiding word of Jesus that puts us in tune to the fruit-bearing process of God to glorify himself. So the fourth point is to being saturated in God's word. And the more we are saturated in God's word, the more our prayers are answered. And before I conclude, I'm just going to... It's not always easy praying God's word, but sometimes they've got good books. I happen to have this one. It's Praying with Fire by Barbara Billett, who also is going to be at Hope for More conference. But I want to emphasize that this is the best book. These are only aids to help you for this best book. I like this book because it uses scripture. But don't ever think that there's a book that's better than this book. And I can't emphasize that enough. If you're doing a study, go to this book. It's the best. These books are only aids. They're not, they sometimes get you on the right path. They are only aids. They are not the end all and be all. This is the book. I recommend. This is my recommendation. Anyway, in conclusion, the challenge of prayer is the challenge of becoming the kind of people who do not live at the level of mere natural desire, but who live to bear fruit for God, to hallow his name, and seek his kingdom and do his will. And the key to becoming that kind of person is letting the words of Jesus, the word of God, live in you. In John 3:34, for the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Being filled and saturated by the words of Scripture brings us so close to the mind of God that we pray in tune with his purpose and receive whatever we ask. And this morning was, Jamie, I really appreciate, you know, when we talked about the consuming fire, fanning the flame. Like, we need to become so saturated in the word of God that we start praying in tune to his purpose. And then when we start praying in tune, things are going to happen. And I believe that things are going to happen one way or the other. And I want you guys not to feel discouraged. This isn't a, this happens today. It's a progression. We don't get here in a minute. It takes you a long time to study and read the Word of God and to understand it. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, sometimes you pick the Bible and you read it and you think, wow, I've read this, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And that scripture has never spoken to me like that. It's like when, you know, it said like the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And one day I'm saying to Mom, it's not me, Mom. It's the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And what a rejoicing it was in my heart to know that although I want to tell my neighbor about it, it's not me. It's the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And you know, I don't want you guys to be discouraged. I want you to know that it's a progression. But if we are not growing, Roy Bench used to say, if we aren't growing in the Lord, we're backsliding. And so if you're not going ahead, standing still, is you're going back. You've got to, and that's what we are looking for. I know in a pastor is, you know, Pastor Corey and Shanda brought us to this point. But we're looking to go further with Jesus, not with the pastor. We're looking to go further with Jesus. That's why we move, that's why the more we are saturated by the words of Jesus, the more our prayers will be answered. I'm going to close with saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and I shall show it to you. And I'm going to close in a word of prayer and ask God to just abide in you. Father God, we come before you this morning, knowing that we need you more and more. Father God, in a world where it seems that times are so chaotic, you are the true standard that we can always count on. You are our hope. You are our everything, Lord. And Father God, I pray this morning that people will open their hearts to know you better. To be so in tune to your word that when they pray for their neighbors, they will know exactly what that person needs because they know what your word says. Father God, I pray for everyone here this morning that you would make yourself real in their lives, that you would become such an intricate part of them that they would be saturated with Jesus, and when the times get hard, that they could lean on you, that you would carry them through the rough times, and that they, when they reach the mountaintops, that they will be able to glorify you and just say, my Lord, you are the one and only one. You are my hope. You are my strength. You are everything. Father God, it is my prayer that we would go back to our basics, where we spend time in the Word of God to know you better, and that we would pray and just earnestly speak you spiritually, biblically based, Lord, that we would know who you are and that we would know who we are in you. And we just thank you for this morning, that we serve an awesome God. And that you never, ever forget us, or you never forsake us, because you are God. And as Tyson said this morning, you care for the hairs on our head, and you care for the sparrow, Lord. How much more do you care for us? And Lord, I just ask that this morning we would just recommit ourselves to spending more time with you, to be in tune to you and know your good and perfect will. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Jesus, look for in his glory.